When educators, visual images, and music are sending you strong signals, when people around you are pressuring you and even threatening you, it's hard to do the right thing, but it's not impossible. Stay tuned. This is the Back to God Hour, a program that looks at life in light of the Bible, exploring God's answers to our questions. Our host is David Fettes, and the topic we'll be dealing with today is Dare to be Different.
Adolf Hitler was a master manipulator. The Nazi dictator knew how to change people and control their actions. Hitler knew the power of schools and universities to shape young people's thinking, so he made sure German educators taught the party line. Hitler knew that young people liked to feel part of an elite group, so he formed the Hitler Youth. Hitler knew that pictures persuade. So he used colorful flags, photos, and films to show the glory of Nazism. Hitler knew that music moves people, so he held huge rallies with loud music to create an exciting atmosphere and sweep crowds along with him. Hitler knew that people follow popular direction setters, so he made sure that all public figures openly supported Nazi ideology. If any didn't, they disappeared. Hitler knew that when all else fails, fear is a mighty motivator, so he backed up all his manipulation with threats of torture and death for any who didn't do his bidding and bow to Nazi ideology. The tools of manipulation don't change much. They stay much the same in various times and places. If you want to control people and shape their behavior, just go down the list. Govern their schooling, train their minds, and cleanse them of family convictions and belief in God. Form a group mentality where it's cool to fit in and dreadful not to. Create powerful pictures and images for them to watch. Get them hooked on your kind of music. Get movers and shakers, cool kids, and important grown-ups to set a pattern for the rest of the herd to imitate. And use the fear factor. Dictators and criminals can use fear of torture and death, but even without such measures, there are other fears: fear of being mocked, fear of being ostracized, fear of getting low grades, fear of being sued, fear of being fired. These methods are nothing new. Already 2,600 years ago, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon was using them. He used government schooling, elite grouping, impressive visuals, stirring music, peer pressure, and raw fear to create a mindset of absolute loyalty to him and to Babylonian groupthink. His methods worked on most people, but not on everyone. A few young men dared to be different. They stayed loyal to their God and stuck to what they believed in, no matter what the king tried. Even a blazing furnace could not destroy their faith or make them bow to what they knew was wrong. Their true story helps us to identify different types of pressure to betray God and deny our true identity, and their story shows that even when there appears to be no hope, even when everyone else is going with the flow, God's people dare to be different. King Nebuchadnezzar conquered many nations and ruled a vast empire. He had a shrewd policy of picking elite youth from conquered peoples, retraining them to believe and behave like Babylonians, and then making them part of his government bureaucracy. By skimming the top talent from all his territories, he could fill government posts with people of great ability, and they could use their charisma and connections to persuade their own people to see Babylonian ways as the wave of the future. One of the nations Nebuchadnezzar invaded was Judah. He had some of the young Jewish elite hauled away to Babylon to be trained for government service. In Daniel 1, verses 3 through 7, the Bible says, "Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now put yourself in their shoes. You're a teenager. You were born in Jerusalem, but now you live in Babylon. You were once a free noble, but now you're a captive. You were brought up believing in the Lord God and learning the scriptures, but now you have pagan teachers. They have even renamed you. Your original names all referred to some action or attribute of God, but your new names all refer to idols and paganism. Who are you? You are still God's people, whatever anyone calls you. You still trust God's word, whatever your school teaches you. Your heart is still noble and free, wherever captivity brings you. Your heart is still in Jerusalem, the city of God, no matter how long you live in Babylon, the city of worldliness. Those young men did not forget who they were, even after Babylon tried to reprogram them. They dared to be different because they knew God and they knew who they were. You too can dare to be different, and the key is to know who God is and to know who you are. If you trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Bible says you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Who are you? If you don't know God, you might not be sure who you are, but if you're a Christian, or if you become one, you bear the name of Christ. That's what the word Christian means, one who belongs to Christ. Babylon will keep trying to reshape you and to rename you, but Jesus says, hold on to what you have. I will write on you the name of my God and the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on you my new name. You may live and work in worldly Babylon, but you are a citizen of heavenly Jerusalem. Mean kids may call you names. The anti-God elite may call you whatever it wants. But the name the Lord gives you is what counts.
I know your deeds. I've seen your service. I recognize the reputation of your lies. But I know you live near Satan's shadow. And I have seen your faithful struggles to survive. And to the one who overcomes, I'll give the manna. He'll have a pure white stone with his own secret name. She will possess the morning star in all its splendor. All this and more for them because they overcame. All this and more for them because they overcame. So just hold on and do not grow weary. For I am he who searches hearts and minds. Behold, I'm standing at the door, and I am knocking. And the one who hears and opens it will find that the one who overcomes will rule the nations. On the throne he'll sit beside me, dressed in white. She will become a column in God's holy temple. And they will all eat freely from the tree of life. And they will all eat freely from the tree of life. The overcomers come to understand that they are precious poems printed in the palms of his hands.
The young men stood firm in their first test of faith, but the worst was yet to come. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make sure all of his newly trained officials would bow to his absolute authority. He wanted them to put his orders before everything, before their conscience, before their God. And he designed an event to make it happen. Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." If Nebuchadnezzar were living today and didn't have an empire to run, he could be an MTV executive. MTV's goal is different from Nebuchadnezzar's. MTV's goal is to take money from teens and their parents and hand the money over to Viacom, the monster media corporation which owns MTV. And MTV's technology is more up-to-date than Nebuchadnezzar's, but the basic methods are the same. Give people some visuals to grip their eyes, some music to grab their ears, a cool crowd to fit in with, and a deadly fear of being different, and you can get them to do almost anything. You can get them to buy stuff marketed on MTV and imitate the raunchy behavior depicted on MTV. You can get them to buy a tyrant's ideology and bow to his idol. You can get them to do most anything. MTV knows this. Hitler knew this. Nebuchadnezzar knew it thousands of years earlier. He used a grand visual. Others might use a swastika flag or a propaganda film, or a sleazy video as their anti-God visual. Nebuchadnezzar used a splendid 90-foot statue for everyone to marvel at and worship. He used the power of music. Others might use Nazi bands or anti-God music pouring from a TV set or an iPod. Nebuchadnezzar used a big musical production, horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, to set the mood and to serve as the signal to abandon faith and bow to his idol and his ideology. He used the power of peer pressure. Others might use the Hitler Youth or pressure to be cool or a longing to fit into mainstream politics or a need for approval by the scholarly community. Nebuchadnezzar made sure that all types of leaders, satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials, were all doing the same thing in unison. He used the power of fear. Others might use the threat of a Nazi death oven, or dread of weirdness and geekiness, or fear of losing a job. Nebuchadnezzar, like Hitler, made use of a death oven, a blazing furnace. It was a tough combination to resist, and Nebuchadnezzar got pretty much the result he wanted. The Bible says, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Well, not quite all. A tiny handful dared to be different. The king had spies in the crowd, keeping an eye out for anyone who wouldn't follow orders. These spies, pagan astrologers and fortune tellers, were Nebuchadnezzar's Gestapo. They reported to the king, "There are some Jews whom you have set over the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Daniel was evidently somewhere else at the time, perhaps on official business, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the huge crowd the king had assembled, and when everybody else was bowing to the image, those three stood out. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." In the darkest days of World War II, Hitler's Nazi army trapped a weaker British force near the seaside town of Dunkirk. Escape seemed impossible. The Nazis paused for a few days, preparing to deliver the final blow. In that desperate hour, a British officer sent a message to his homeland: "But if not." Nowadays, when few people know the Bible, they might respond to such a message by saying, "Huh?" But in 1940, the officer's message fired up British civilians. They recognized the words from the King James Bible of the three young men who believed God would rescue them from the fire. But if not, they still would not bow to the dictator's idol. Neither would the British troops bow to Hitler's Nazi ideology, even if they died resisting. Inspired by that message, thousands of British boat owners crossed dangerous waters, braved Nazi firepower, and rescued over 350,000 troops. Historians call it the miracle of Dunkirk. The forces of freedom lived to fight another day, and eventually they won. Faith is full confidence that God can rescue us from anything. Faith is also full commitment to God, even if he chooses not to rescue us. Heroes of faith know that nothing can kill them if God wants them to go on living. Heroes of faith also would rather die than deny God. The Bible says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Let's listen to a song about that, and then we'll hear how things turned out.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon fire and sword.
David Fettes here again, and on today's Back to God Hour, we're talking about daring to be different, even under fierce pressure. You can get this message in audio or print anytime at backtogod.net. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego dared to be different. No matter how hard King Nebuchadnezzar tried to brainwash them, no matter how hard he tried to scare them, they refused to worship his idol. Then, says the Bible, Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. More than 100 years earlier, before those three friends were torn from their homes and threatened with fire, God had foretold exile and persecution. But God also said, Fear not, for I have redeemed you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. God kept his word. Though pagan soldiers burned when they got close to the furnace, not a hair of God's faithful was singed. They were fireproof, thanks to the fourth man in the fire. This awesome figure was either an angel, or more likely, the Son of God himself. Does the Lord Jesus always fireproof the faithful? What about those who have died in the fires of persecution? Early Christians were covered with tar and burned as torches by the cruel Emperor Nero. Reformation heroes were burned at the stake. Countless martyrs in various ages have died for their faith. Did God fail them? Not at all. Jesus said, They will put some of you to death, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. If you dare to be different, God promises to protect you. Whether you live or die, you belong to the Lord. He numbers every hair on your head and preserves every hair for all eternity. Just as Jesus died and then rose again, so all who die in faith will rise again. Not a hair of your head will perish. At times it may seem safer to go with the flow, to do what's easiest, to fit in and follow orders. When Nebuchadnezzar was heating his furnace hotter than ever, it looked safer to obey the pagan king than to obey God. But the men who followed the king's orders and threw innocent worshipers of God into the furnace weren't safe at all. The flames leaped out and killed those soldiers. Meanwhile, the friends of God were unharmed, thanks to the fourth person who walked with them in the flames. That was a glimpse of the ultimate truth about reality. Jesus descended into hell to make his people safe from its flames. However, raging fire will consume the enemies of God, says the Bible, just as fire burned the king's soldiers. Only those who dare to be different for the Lord's sake are kept safe. As Jesus put it, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Behind all the world's methods of manipulation is the ruler of this world, Satan, the chief of demons, the power behind all evil empires, the tempter behind all temptation. Satan goes after our eyes and ears, our desires and fears. In countries ruled by dictators, Satan uses statues and pictures of the great leader, government-controlled music and media, rigid conformity and social pressure, and cruel threats. In freer societies, Satan uses vile images on a screen, wicked music in a headset, pressure to be cool, and fear of not fitting in. Satan wants you to end up in hell. Satan wants you to go with the flow. Don't do it. Resist him, says the Bible, standing firm in the faith. Don't assume that something must be okay just because everyone around you is doing it. Almost everybody worshipped King Nebuchadnezzar's idol. Almost everybody in Germany went along with Hitler. When everyone is doing it, dare to be different. It may seem easier and more peaceful to go with the flow, but picture this. Someone is relaxing on a rubber raft floating downstream on a river, while someone else is in a motorboat battling upstream against the current. The motor is noisy and the person is getting soaked by splashing water. Which of the two persons is better off? You might think it would be far better to float lazily downstream than to struggle upstream. But what if, a bit further downstream, the river plunges over a huge waterfall onto jagged rocks below? And what if upstream a warm, beautiful home is waiting? Would you rather go with the flow to destruction, or keep struggling upstream until you arrive at that lovely home? The flow of this world eventually plunges downward into hell. The struggle of faith eventually carries you home to God's mansion. As the Bible says, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So don't go with the flow. Dare to be different. Trust God and always put Him first in your life, no matter how hard the world and Satan try to pull you downstream. God will reward your faith. In fact, if you don't let God's enemies change you, you may end up changing them. They may become more open to God and more favorable to you. That's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar after the three young men stood up for their faith and dared to be different. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and rescued His servants. They trusted in Him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. If you trust in the Lord Jesus and dare to be different for His sake, the Lord may rescue you, He may make your enemies favorable to you and promote you in this life. But if not, you may still be sure that a bigger promotion is waiting in the life to come, when God will surely rescue you and promote you to reign with Him for all eternity. Jesus says, "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne."
You've been listening to the Back to God Hour with David Fettes. Our messages can be read or heard anytime on the internet at backtogod.net. And if you'd like a free printed copy of today's message, just write us and ask for it, called Dare to Be Different. Our address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. If you prefer a cassette or CD of the broadcast, you may have one for $5. The name of the message again is Dare to Be Different, and the address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. And when you write, please include the call letters of this station. You're invited to visit our website, backtogod.net. There you can listen to any of our programs or study them in print, and you can email us with your comments or questions. You can also sign up to receive a free meditation each day by email to help you in your daily devotions. And you can sign up to get free weekly email transcripts of David Fettes' Back to God Hour messages. Sign up is simple. Just go to backtogod.net, type in your email address, and hit the subscribe button. Again, the website is backtogod.net. And if you have email but aren't comfortable with websites, just write us with your email address and we'll gladly sign you up to receive daily meditations and weekly program transcripts. Write the Back to God Hour, P.O. Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. The Back to God Hour is a worldwide ministry of the Christian Reformed Church.